One in eight Americans are being medicated for depression. What's our problem? Perhaps part of the answer lies in missing the distinction between depression and despair. Welcome to On My Walk, the reading podcast that helps you capture reading's aha moments and apply them to your life and leadership. Hey, Gordon Marino is a veteran boxing trainer, an award-winning boxing writer for the Wall Street Journal, an author, and professor of philosophy at St. Olaf College in Minnesota. He's also a Kierkegaard scholar. Now, Søren Kierkegaard, 1813 to 1855, was a Danish philosopher. He was also a Lutheran theologian, a poet, and a leader among the group of philosophers known as existentialists. What's that? Well, Marino writes, existentialists have been perennially concerned with questions about the very meaning of life, questions that tend to come to the fore when we've become unmoored from our everyday anchorage. In other words, existentialists, rather than medicate the unpleasant moods and feelings of the soul, such as anxiety or depression or grief, they dive in and they wrestle with them, searching for what those feelings say about who we are and how we ought to live. Marino writes this, they take moods and emotions much more seriously than most of the members of the American Philosophical Association. Like Socrates, existentialists believe in the examined life, in Marino's words, that our lives have everything to do with how we absorb the inevitable blows of life. Now, in Chapter 2, Depression and Despair, Marino is going to shine his existentialist flashlight on contemporary America, particularly our unwillingness to contend with negative emotions. Here's what he's going to say. Today, we're invited to believe that many of our negative emotions are illnesses to be treated. And in another place, he says, if Kierkegaard were on Facebook, he would surely complain that we who've listened to Prozac have grown deaf to the difference between, listen to this, a disruption in the way we feel and a sickness in our very being. In other words, in days gone by, melancholy, a disruption in the way we feel, was just part of being human. And I tell you, Abraham Lincoln would give a hearty amen to that because he suffered with melancholy all the time. But these days, we don't even want to go there. If the black cloud comes out, a lot of times people say, well, you need to go see a therapist. Now note, in this podcast, I am not knocking therapists. Our church has a fantastic counseling center with some of the most highly trained, Christ-focused, state-certified professionals there are in the business, so to speak, and we need them. But Marino's asking a very important question. He's asking, do we run to the therapist in general, and medication in particular, because we confuse depression and despair? He writes this, depression metastasizes into despair, a sickness in our very being, by virtue of the way the depressed relates herself to her depression. In other words, grappling with negative thoughts and emotions is not despair. Despair is when I want to get rid of the self I am. Marino is going to tell us, wrestling with the black dog, what he calls depression, is not bad. In fact, it's healthy, and people have been doing it for centuries. And hearty amen to that, because all you have to do is read the Psalms and see the people of God have been wrestling with their depressive thoughts all the time. But if we turn it around, what Kierkegaard wants us to see is that happiness can be despair's greatest hiding place. You say, well, how's that? It happens when happiness blinds us to our true selves. Listen as Marino tells a story about when he was younger.
Childish as it now seems, when I was a young man, I lived by the creed, the NFL or nothing. During my playing days, the Vietnam War was in full flame. I could discuss the issue, but regrettably, I didn't care half as much about my brothers and sisters in arms as I did about my gridiron ambitions. I didn't want to be myself unless it was a self on some NFL roster. It all came crashing down quickly in college, and when it did, I felt invisible, unmanned. If asked, I would have groaned that I was despairing over the loss of football. On Kierkegaard's reckoning, it would have been more precise to say that I was despairing over having to be myself without my identity as a football player. I wanted to be rid of myself, and there were many nights when I nearly managed to do just that. Americans seem to live in the future. We incessantly spout pieties about having some dreamed-up vision of the self that we desperately want to realize. Young people who lack such a vision are looked upon askance. It could be making a million by 30, or becoming a surgeon, or maybe becoming the next Jay-Z or Ryan Gosling. Apparently, the present only acquires significance for us as a stepping stone to the pedestal of some triumphant future moment. But suppose you publish that novel to rave reviews, or land that role in Hollywood. Suppose you realize that ideal self. Suppose you become Caesar. You are, of course, in seventh heaven, a state, Kierkegaard remarks, that is in another sense just as despairing. Just as despairing as failing to realize your dream.
Okay, how can reaching our ideal, our seventh heaven, be just as despairing as failing to reach our dreams? Now hang with me, because we need to understand Kierkegaard's concept of the three selves. First, there's the concrete self. Now, this is the present work that one puts into the ambition he or she has. For instance, the senior who's cramming for MCATs because she wants to become a doctor, or the attorney who's burning the midnight oil because he wants to make partner. That's the concrete self, the working self. Number two is the ideal self. That's the person we fervently want to become. I call this the Instagram self. It's the doctor with a stethoscope around her neck, the attorney with partner emblazoned on his business card. And number three, there's the true self. And this self has nothing to do with your station or your accomplishments. It is the self, Kierkegaard says, that's rested transparently in God. It's the self that finds its identity not in work or achievements, but in God. So I got to come back and say, well, how can happiness be despair's greatest hiding place? Well, if we think of despair not as a negative emotion, but as wanting to get rid of our true self, who we are before God, or refusing to become our true self, resting transparently before God, then our happiest moments sometimes can blind us to our true selves. In Marino's case, he was despairing because he thought football defined him, and when football was gone, or doctoring is gone, or the attorney's practice is gone, he was left with nothing but an unmoored self. So had he achieved his football goal and been very, very happy, that happiness would actually mask his despair because he confused the attainment of his goal with who he was at his core. And Kierkegaard suspects that people who fulfill their ideal selves will be inclined to think they've hit the bullseye of life. And in some ways, why shouldn't they? But take it all away, and was Marino worthless because he didn't make it to the NFL? Of course not. Now, I'm recording this podcast on Christmas Eve, very apropos in my book, Christ Came to Save Us. That is, to give us an identity as his beloved sons and daughters. Here's how this ties together. If the true self is secure in God, then the ideal self can be pursued as an outworking of the gifts of God. If you've got physical talents, pursue boxing. You got to care for people, pursue medicine. You've got a desire for justice, become an attorney. But not as a way of trying to prove my worth and stature that I have in relationship to God, but as a way of stewarding well this one and only life God gives. And then, understanding that, my concrete self is still consumed with working hard and putting forth my best effort, but with a different driver. It's God's strength for that work. It's God's joy in that work. It's God's rest from that work, because it's no longer about the work. It's about how I live transparently before God. So my aha moment was this. Happiness really can be despair's greatest hiding place when happiness, attained because I've reached my ideal, makes me think my ideal is what life is really all about, when actually, no, I just become a boxer or a doctor or an attorney. Life, real life, according to Kierkegaard, and more importantly, according to Jesus, comes when I rest in God, a relationship made possible by the Christ of Christmas. And that's my rather lengthy thought on my walk with Soren Kierkegaard, Dr. Gordon Marino, and his insightful text, The Existentialist Survival Guide, How to Live Authentically in an Inauthentic Age. Now my question is, what will you do with that thought on your walk through life today? Hey, let me encourage you again to stop by onmywalk.com. You can read my review of Dr. Marino's work along with several others that we've been putting up left and right these days to try to finish up our goal of having 100 books and 100 reviews by the end of this year.